Jesus once said that man cannot live just by bread alone, but of every word that comes out of the Father's mouth. That is the word that sustains us.
Amen.
He's the one that gives us life. In fact, knowing him is better than life. Amen. Christ Alone, I think, is a special song simply because it is not by faith plus works that we are saved, that we are made right with God. It's faith alone, in Christ alone. And we really need to recover that. In Christ, we are totally fulfilled, totally loved, and totally secure. Would you sing, please? may be seated. You know, on Sunday mornings, I'm thinking about so many things. And sometimes you forget to do what you need to do. For our responsive reading this morning, I chose a passage from Exodus. And let me set the scene for you. The scene is simply this. God is reasoning, if you will, with Moses and saying to Moses, you're going to go talk to Pharaoh, and I'm going to use you to deliver my people. And, of course, you know Moses, how can I say this gently? At first he said, you know, Lord, I can't speak well. Lord says, well, don't worry about it. Use your brother Aaron to kind of be your mouthpiece. What that tells me up front, first of all, is that when God calls us to do something, there's no excuse not to. That's another subject, right? But then Moses had a problem. He had a credibility problem. And the credibility problem stemmed from him being well known. And if you remember, early on he had interceded for a fellow Jew who was getting beat up. And, well, he hurt some of the guards in the process. And his fellow Jews didn't trust him at that point. All right, so it was a little bit of a credibility problem. And in this credibility problem, you see, God had it all worked out. And I want you to see how he worked it out, okay? So would you read this along with me? I'm not getting the remote to work. I don't know if the thing is in. Oh, okay, just did it, okay. Thank you. Would you read this with me, please? The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I heard them cry out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of, the Israelites out of Egypt. Excuse me. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said, suppose I go there to the Israelites, and they say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask me, what's your name? Then what shall I say to them? What should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. Isn't that amazing? I am. When Jesus started using that in his sermons while he walked this earth, it offended a great many people because that term was reserved solely for God. So in using it, Jesus was declaring himself to be God in the flesh. And so, just to set the stage for where we're going with this, for our prayer this morning, I really think that we all know that COVID's on the uptake, correct? We need to be smart about it. We don't need to panic about it, but we need to be smart about it. You know, continue social distancing, continue wearing the masks, and just continue to wash your hands. The best thing you can do is wash your hands in this whole thing. Nobody knows really, you know, what's going to happen. We don't know. I just ask you to join me in prayer that the governor doesn't decide to close churches down again, okay? Because I can tell you as a pastor, I'm seeing the stress levels of people kind of off the charts now. I'm seeing people concerned about their own health, of course. People concerned about their financial being. People concerned about families. I mean, there's some states where you're not supposed to get together with family to have Thanksgiving. You know, you can't have more than 10 people in your home. So we need to pray. There's a lot of hurting people out there, a lot of people feeling alone, a lot of people who are looking for hope, and that hope can only be found in Christ. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father, help us to see as you see the cry of the people. Help us to see that they're crying out, Father, for something better. We've been kind of preoccupied with COVID and the election and all sorts of bad news. But Father, even in this environment, just like in Jesus' day, you bring forth good news. The good news that Jesus came to earth, fully God, fully man, through a peasant. And Father, that you chose to use Mary to bring your Savior into the world. Father, when you said these words to Moses, I am. Father, Mary gave birth to the great I am. And so, Father, as we look today how in love you sent your Son to this messed up world to give it hope, I pray, Father, you open our hearts. You help us to see over and above whatever we may be going through and to see Jesus and the hope that he offers. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you know, I'm going to test your age, okay? Nobody here is over 39, right? Okay. We have people younger than that, by the way. Do you remember the old slogan that Wonder Bread used to use? Build stronger bodies, right, in 12 ways, right? I think that was that. You guys remember it at all? You don't? Okay. Yeah, sure. One life events. No. Builds bodies in 12 ways. They ran on that for years, by the way. I don't know if you remember. They ran on it for years. And out of that, or coincidentally with that, came the phrase, when something was invented, it's better than sliced bread. Right? Better than sliced bread. Some people don't even know what sliced bread is. Right? What's sliced bread? Yeah, some people call it sandwich bread, right? Right, you know, I was raised by the city with sliced bread. Right, oil was Earl. I want to get us into the frame that Jesus uses this metaphor of bread very purposefully, because back in Jesus' day, much like in our day, bread is a staple. Whether we want to, I'm sorry, Tommy, I don't mean to talk about bread, but. Whether we realize it or not, bread is a staple. You know, I've often said, give me a loaf of Italian bread and some provolone cheese that smells like stinky socks, I'm fine. All right? So bread, in some sense, is carbohydrates are needed to sustain life. Right? But you know what happens a couple hours later? We get hungry again. All right? So, you know, last time we spoke about some misconceptions in ministry. And as we come into Thanksgiving and Christmas, I want to suggest that there may be some misconceptions about what we may be seeking during this holiday, or in fact, what we may be seeking even after the holidays. I can't tell you how many times, and there's nothing wrong with giving gifts and, you know, having a big Thanksgiving meal, so please don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with that. But how many times in January and February I hear people say, oh, gee, the charge card bill came in. Now they get, now they got to buy Rolaids because now they have indigestion about how to pay it off, right? This passage in John, we're going to John 6 if you want to follow along. I titled it, Do You Know the Bread Who Gives You Life? And you say, oh, gee, that's a strange title. Do you know the bread who gives you life? And we're going to John 6, starting at verse 25. And I'll frame this out for you in a minute. But I want to just say right out the outset, this passage gives us some great insights about searching in wrong places to be fulfilled. And we, our sinful nature does that. We search in the wrong places to be fulfilled. I put it this way. We have nearsighted hearts for the things that may satisfy only temporarily. You know what nearsightedness is? Nearsightedness is you can only see what's in front of you. That's what nearsighted is, right? And we live in a culture of instant gratification. In fact, it goes beyond instant gratification. We want gratification yesterday, right? We live in a culture that doesn't know anymore what it is to wait. We live in a culture that wants to dictate to us what we need to be happy. That's what commercials are all about, by the way. You need this to be happy. You need this to look good. You know, you need this to have more hair, and it didn't work, right? You know, you need this for this. You need this for that. And I get a real big, I think I mentioned this last year, I get a real big kick out of watching the car commercials this year. You know, the Cadillac commercials, the Mercedes commercials, the BMW commercials, and the Lincoln commercials. And it's like, do you really think a car is going to give you that type of happiness? You know, and I could hear some thoughts, well, you know, gee, a Corvette would be nice, or, you know. Well, it's things. You know what happens? Yeah, they break down. They get old. Only the person and work of Jesus Christ is able to sustain us spiritually now and for all eternity. And that's what Jesus was trying to get the religious people to understand. This is why he came to earth. Because the religious people messed it all up. They said the only way to fulfillment is to keep these laws, which nobody can keep. The only way to religious fulfillment was to put on this religious mask to look good in front of everybody. And those who rejected that type of religion, well, they were just looking everywhere else in the wrong places. They were looking to immorality. They were looking to materialistic stuff. They were looking everywhere else but where they should have been looking. I marvel to this day. I was just talking to somebody about this. I marvel this day that the wisest man that lived, who was Solomon, right, tried to find satisfaction in 700 women. One wasn't enough, you know? 700, can you imagine? I'm not sexist, okay? But can you imagine that mentality? The one I have is not good enough. This next one's better, right? Maybe the next one is going to be better, and the next one's going to be better. And this is the way we tend to live. That's our sin nature. When we are overlooking what is right in front of us or who it is that is right in front of us. So let's go into the passage. I'm not sure if I'll get through it all today, but we'll see. Oops, I skipped one. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, which was a great mystery to the Pharisees, because they didn't see Jesus get in the boat with the disciples to go to the other side of the lake, and they were them and the other people were looking for him, because he had just done a great miracle. He had fed 5,000 people on, what was it, 2 fish and 5 loaves, right? And they were saying, wow, how could he do this? And yet he did it, and they did, and they couldn't find him after that, right? So they finally went to the other side of the shore, and there he is. And they're saying, how did you get here? You didn't take a boat? Well, you didn't need to, all right? And they totally asked the wrong question. One of the things that good education should do is to get you to ask the right questions. Because when you ask the right questions, that's when you're going to learn. Jesus doesn't even answer the question. He goes right into the heart of the matter, and Jesus answered them. He says, very truly. You see that phrase in the Old King James, that is, truly I say to you, right? Very truly. This is a phrase, it's an idiom that says, you can take this to the bank, all right? The literal translation there is amen. Let it be. I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your what? Well, they were fat, dumb, and happy, right? And, you know, it goes right for the heart of the issue. And Jesus says, you even missed the signs. The signs was to point you to God. The signs was to tell you that I am the Messiah. I am the one who gives life. I am the one who can take your sin in your place and pay the full penalty for it. Well, listen to this as this develops. He says, do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures for eternity. Recently, we had a little bit of problem with our freezer. The door wasn't closing right, so we lost everything in there. And, you know, that could be a little bit stressful, right, upsetting, but it just goes to show me how quickly food can spoil. When I was in college, we had this little refrigerator, and I could swear we grew cultures of mold and fungus that we never even realized, because you know how college kids are. We never cleaned anything. So I learned from that. When I used to come home, Gloria sometimes and Mary Lou would make me stuff to bring back to school, and I would put on the container lab experiment so nobody would touch it, you know. Because, you know, 5 guys living, you know, in a house, everything becomes kind of common. And there was enough green stuff in there and bad stuff that they would probably respect it. But it says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternity, which the Son of Man, now he's getting scandalous. He's calling himself the Son of Man, which was a term used for the Messiah, will give to you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Do you remember when that happened, when God the Father placed the seal of approval on Jesus? You remember? Baptism. When John baptized him. Now, Jesus didn't need to be baptized for sin. He didn't sin. But that was the start and the anointing of his earthly ministry as being fully God and fully man. They asked him. They still didn't get it. What must we do to do the works of God that God requires? In other words, they thought in their own ego, in their own warped theology, that they could still do something to obligate God to give them this bread. They were still looking for physical bread. Maybe because they wouldn't have to work again. I don't know. Whatever the reasons were, they were still not getting it. And Jesus says, the work of God is this. Notice he doesn't say your work. He says the work of God. God did all the work. He sent his one and only Son to die for us, to die for our sin. And he says, you're only required to have faith. Believe in the one he has sent. Believe in Jesus. That's it. Believe in Christ. Well, that's too good to be true. Yeah, it is. But it is true. So they asked him. Boy, you know, here I'm criticizing them, but I have a feeling if I were there, I might have said these same things. They ask him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? How many signs have they seen? They've seen Jesus take 2 fish and 5 loaves and feed 5,000 people. What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. You remember the story, right? When Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, they needed food. So what did God do graciously? He made it rain what? Bread. Manna. Manna means bread of heaven. Okay? And this is what they wanted Jesus to do. They wanted to him to say, okay, maybe you want to keep us supplied in this bread. Make it come down from heaven. It says, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, when you see verily true, oh, very true, pay attention, very true. I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, which they thought, by the way, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. And on that night where that strange star appeared over a manger in Bethlehem, the bread of heaven came down to earth. The bread of heaven that could only fully satisfy. And they missed it. The bread of heaven. I'll tell you how bad they missed it. When the three, I call them wise guys, but they're not. When the three wise men, right? We don't even know if there were three, but when the wise men or the magi saw the star, they had read the Old Testament, and they knew this was from God. These are Gentiles. These are people who were from east of Bethlehem, and they knew God was up to something. And they took a great chance. Traveling back then was very dangerous. They took a great chance to come and see the Messiah and to worship him, to worship the bread from heaven. And here he is standing right in front of the religious people and those who've seen miracles, and they miss him. They're looking in the wrong places. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. They still don't get it. Right? They just still don't get it. Sometimes we still don't get it. Okay? And he goes on to say, then Jesus declared, this is where the Pharisees went nuts. I am the what? The bread of life. He's saying, I'm God in the flesh, and I can bring you what spiritually sustains you now and for all eternity. And look at this great declaration. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, spiritually speaking now, right? And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, but you still do not believe. So Jesus doesn't waste any time here. He doesn't beat around the bush. All those the Father gives me will come to me. For whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Isn't that great? Jesus will never drive away anybody who comes humbling in repentance and faith. For I have come down to heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. These are great declarations. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have what? And I will raise them up at the last day. Whoa. Well, what's the last day? When he comes back again, right? When Jesus comes back again. At this, the Jews began to grumble. I hate grumbling. I really do. And people do that a lot. I don't know. It seems like the older people get, the more they grumble sometimes. I don't know. I had a grandfather who was the chief of grumblers. He'd be walking along, he'd be grumbling, and what was worse, he'd grumble in Italian. You know, and I'm sure he wasn't saying pleasant things. But the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." This was scandalous. Guess what? It's still scandalous today. But people need to hear this. They need to hear this. They said, well, listen to this. Remember I told you that, you know, when a person comes to Christ, sometimes those who knew you before are suspicious, right? Well, this came out of the grumbling. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, "I came down from heaven"? They were still thinking in the physical, right? "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day." He's telling them again. Every one of you who has come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Father has drawn you. He's drawing you. That's why we can't take credit for anything. It's all the Father's work through Jesus Christ. Man, talk about a Christmas message. This is good stuff. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. That's the ministry, I believe, of the Holy Spirit, by the way. No one who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father, meaning Jesus. Truly, very truly, I tell you, the one who, what, believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. And Jesus really wanted to get that across. Yeah, they ate this physical bread that came down from heaven, but yet they died, right? But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, spiritually. And then we'll have our resurrected bodies, right? This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Let me go on just for a few more minutes. Then the Jews began to argue sharply. I wish that one of the news networks would have been there so I could have seen this. The Jews began to argue among themselves. And when it says sharply, this was loud, right? It says, how can this man give us flesh to eat? They're still thinking in the physical. And Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And they were saying, this guy's promoting cannibalism, right? How can this be? And they missed the point again. Jesus was saying, look, unless you come to know me intimately by faith, then you won't have eternal life. He wasn't talking about physically eating flesh or drinking his blood. He was saying, come. You know, when people have dinner together, usually you can find out a whole lot about each other, right? And that could be good or bad, I guess. But Jesus is saying, I want us to have an intimate, dynamic relationship of love. And he goes on to say, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. He's talking about abiding in him. In other words, in a personal relationship, as you your love for Christ develops deeper, you're going to be abiding in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so that one who feeds on me will live because of me. How do we feed on Jesus? How do we feed on Jesus? Well, yeah, there you go. The Word. He is the living Word. And we should be feeding on it. There's our bread from heaven. You know, there are people still in the world without the Scriptures. There are countries where passages of Scripture have to be smuggled into people. And the Bible in the United States is still the number one best-selling book and the least read. We need to feed on the Word of God every day. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Let it speak life into our spirit so we can rise above the worries of the world and the concerns of the world. Listen, no matter what happens with COVID, I know God's still in charge. No matter what happens with the election, I know God's still in charge. No matter what happens to me, I know Jesus died for me. No matter what happens to me, you know, God forbid on my way home I get hit by a drunk driver. Well, Jesus still has me in his hands. So we really have to grasp the importance of this. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. Did I go back? But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said these things while teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. Listen, what I want you to take away from this today is the incredible power of the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ. You've heard me say many times that in Christ, when we have a personal relationship by faith alone in Christ, he will fulfill our every need, not our wants, but our need. Everybody has a need to be loved, right? He'll love us unconditionally. Even when we're stupid, he'll love us unconditionally, right? And we have this need that our life should count. So we have this need to be significant. And as we obey Christ in a love relationship, he will lead us to do things that we never thought we'd be able to do, and leave an impact for Jesus, not for us, but for Jesus as we journey through this world. I'll get you to show your age one more time. Okay. Dionne Warwick, many years ago, along with Burt Bacharach. Burt Bacharach did the music, Dionne Warwick sang it. What the World Needs Now is Love. Remember that song? Who doesn't remember that song? I want to suggest what the world needs now is Jesus, the bread of heaven. I also don't want you to leave here today without knowing that in some way, somehow, you are called to be Jesus to a lost world. You are called to love people just like Jesus loved. You are called when we earn the right to share the good news that heaven's bread came down on that Christmas morning. And that is the only bread that will satisfy. Amen. I'm going to ask the ladies to come up. And as we prepare to sing, ladies and Chip. Chip's the manly man, all right? We'll all have to just say men's group, Chip, right? There you go. As we sing this, I'm going to ask you to stand, all right? This is my prayer. And please, you know, don't run off because we got the meeting. But this is my prayer that this Christmas season and beyond, that God somehow would wake us up, not only here in the United States, but through the world, to know that Jesus is still alive, to know that Jesus is our only hope. Amen? Lord Jesus, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Holy Spirit, would you fill our hearts with the wonder of Christmas, with the bread of heaven coming into this messy world to give us hope. And Father, help us to be Christ to others this season. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless. Those of you who want to stay for the meeting, you're welcome to stay.